First Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 7, we find this. For God has not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us His Holy Spirit. Father, we love You this morning. We thank You for Your divine presence. Thank You for Your word that is alive and will do everything it has promised. Father, this morning may we turn our cups right side up and let You fill us to overflowing. And may we be obedient to You this morning as You speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. It's great to be saved this morning, to know that Jesus is the Lord of our life. How did that become an experience for you? That became a personal experience for you when you obeyed the Holy Spirit. You did not become a child of God by simply coming to church, by being water baptized, partaking of communion, going through some ceremony, some ritual. But because the Holy Spirit of God spoke to your heart, and revealed to you that there was a Jesus who wanted to change your life, transform you from the inside out, so that you could call Him Heavenly Father, and He would call you His son or His daughter. At that moment that you repented of your sins, Christ came in, forgave you of your sins, wrote your name down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And you became an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. At that moment, you were reconciled to God. For the one that died for you when you were still a sinner loved you enough that He came in to your heart when you did what He said to do. That was a great experience, and it happened for one reason. You obeyed God. You not simply believed that there was a God, but you believed there was a God who loved you enough that He would save you. You see, there's many people that believe in the God of Abraham who are not saved. They believe He exists. They believe that His Son Jesus came to the cross 2,000 years ago and died. They believe that Jesus was placed in a borrowed tomb, and that the third day He rose triumphantly over death, hell, and the grave. They believe that. Just look at church attendance on Easter Sunday morning across America. They believe that. They come to celebrate that. But it's not enough today to believe those truths today. I must receive the truth in order to be set free. For it is not simply the truth that I know that sets me free. It's the truth that I receive by childlike faith. That is the truth that sets people free. And Jesus says, He whom the Son sets free is free indeed. We can be free today from sin. We can be free today from the shackles and the bondages of sin. Once we receive this man called Jesus. But not a moment before. We can be good, we can be moral, we can be good individuals, we can be good parents, we can be good workers, but it is Jesus only who can release us and set us free from every stronghold in our lives today. Christ is the answer. Christ is the person people are looking for. Christ is the person today that loves you the way you are. Christ is the person that simply does not look at where we are, but where we can be when we give our lives to Him. If a person rejects Christ, they cannot have a personal relationship with Him. We all agree with that, don't we? If a person rejects this plan of salvation to be saved and to be born again, Christ cannot save that person. Impossible. He would have to break His word, and heaven and earth will pass away, but His word never will pass away, and it will never change. It is eternal. Thereby, when an individual rejects Jesus Christ, they're rejecting forgiveness of sins. Now let us get to the text. God has a call on your life. It's a divine call. It's an eternal call. It's a call to a person named Jesus Christ. And it's a call to holy living. Thank you, wife, for the amen. It is a call today to the world. It is a call to every nationality, every race. It is a call to every denomination. It is a call to every person living this very moment. It is a call to holiness. It is not simply a suggestion. It is not simply a recommendation. But it is a call. It is not a call from some man who has an idea. It is not a call from some political party who wants change. But it is a call that has been the call since there was a God. And this God that gives us this call resounds us today. He has no beginning. He has no end. Thereby, this has always been His call in the past. And this will be His call forever. It is a divine call. It is a call from God Himself. It is a call today to the world. It is a call to every nationality, every race. It is a call to every denomination. It is a call to every person living this very moment. It is a call to holiness. It is not simply a suggestion. It is not simply a recommendation. But it is a call. It is not a call from some man who has an idea. It is not a call from some political party who wants change. But it is a call that has been the call since there was a God. And this God that gives us this call resounds us today. He has no beginning. He has no end. Thereby this has always been His call in the past. And this will be His call forever. It is a divine call. It is a call from God Himself. It is a call that I can reject or I can accept. It is a call today that I can reject it and live my life the way I want to live it. Or I can accept and receive this call and answer this call and be blessed and highly favored by the God of Abraham. It is a call today that is clear. It is a call today that is specific. This is not a general call that God makes. It's a specific call. It's a definite call. It's a call for man to live a holy, clean, moral, Christ-like, godly life. But before I go any further, let me tell you what verse 8 says. That word despiseth literally means I can reject it. And it says that he that rejects this call does not reject man, but he rejects God. Now that's what it says. I didn't write the book. I just tried to preach it, okay? When an individual rejects the call of God to live a holy life, they're not simply rejecting a man, a denomination, but they are rejecting the God who created man in His image. But there's billions who are rejecting this call. Down across the ages, multitudes have rejected this call. And their life, their society, their church has suffered because of their rejection. You see, this call today, when it is rejected, it gets us in the condition America is in today. Spiritually dry. Spiritually a drought and a great falling away. But my friend today, you and I have a choice to make personally. This Bible is one thing. In simple terms, this Bible is simply a book of decisions. That's all it is. I decide whether to accept the way of Christ or to reject His ways. I either choose to accept the way of the cross, or to accept, reject the way of the cross. I make the decision every day of my life. What am I going to do with God? What am I going to do with the Word of God? What am I going to do with this man named Jesus Christ who died for me? What am I going to do with him in my life? And am I going to keep him at a distance? And am I going to keep him just as an emergency? Or am I going to have an intimate relationship with him? The choice is ours. But thank God today, nobody has to reject this call. No one does. This is a call to the rich, the poor, the banker, the doctor, the lawyer, the shoeshine boy, the man that picks up cans along the side of the road. It doesn't matter our status in life today. This is a call to holy, godly, Christ-like, consecrated living for Jesus Christ. It is a call today. It is not simply a Nazarene doctrine. This was around a long time before 1908. And it'll be around, which I pray never happens, if our great church ever dilutes it until it becomes powerless. It will still be the call of the Master. This is never going to change. Not ever. Man may reject it. Man may push it aside. Man may dilute it. And man make it nothing more than just a has-been doctrine. But God, the author of it, the God who is holy, who desires you and I to be holy, is never going to be tainted by sin. He was pure. He is pure. He always will be pure. He was holy, he is holy, he always will be holy. And he says, be ye holy, for I am holy. Be like Jesus. Be like God. Paul the Apostle says, imitate Christ. Paul even went a step further and said, imitate my life, because I am imitating the life of Christ. You see, beloved, we are to live such of a life that people can see Christ in us. We're to live such of a life that we have come out from among them and we are separated from them until we are different. Oh, so many people today. I'm not talking about the world. I'm talking about the church, okay? We think we've got to lower the standard to reach people. If we do, take the cross down because we don't believe it. Let me tell you, my friend, if we are no different than the world is, you know what they're saying? I don't need the one you proclaim. Hello? You see, if my morals, if my priorities, if my commitments are the same as the world's is, and then I go tell them, hey, you need Jesus. They say, why? I wouldn't have to change. So why do I need this person you call Jesus as the Lord of your life? You see, today, my dear friend, you and I are called to be different. Different attitudes. Different outlooks on life. Different spirits. Different commitments. Different desires. Different wants. That's what this call is all about today. It's for you and I to have this call of God upon our life and by faith accept it. Preacher, how can I accept this call? Preacher, how can I live this call in my daily life? If it just works at church, it's not of God. Amen. But this call, when it is answered, it'll work 24/7. How do I accept this call? How do I receive this call? How do I live out this call? And the answer is by the amazing grace of Jesus Christ. Not by my works, not by my good deeds, not by my money, not by my giving to the church, but by the abundance of God's grace. Grace, God's grace. Grace that is greater than all sin. That where sin did abound, the grace of God did much more abound. Grace, God's grace today. It's like an ocean without a shoreline this morning. It's infinite. It has no boundaries. It reaches to the heights of His glory, and it reaches to the depths of the deepest sinner. You see, beloved, this morning, this God's grace. There's people today who say, I can't live that life. I've tried it. You know why they failed? Majority of the time is because they tried to do it in their own strength. They thought I had to, you see, they thought if I stopped doing this, then I'd live a holy life. So they stopped it, but they soon went back to it. They thought if I stopped going here, everything would be okay. But it wasn't very long until they went back to that place. Why? It's because only the grace of God can enable, empower you to live this life. No church can. No positive thinking can. No turning over a new leaf can. It takes the grace of God. And when you and I, by faith, receive this grace, then, beloved, we are submitted to Him. We're consecrated to Him. And we're saying, Lord, it is not I who can live this life within my own strength. But God, You have called me to live this life. And God, I'm going to stand upon the authority of Your holy word. That if I present my body to You as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is my reasonable service, and that I am not conformed to this world, then I will be transformed by the renewing of my mind. And I will have the mind of Christ. and I will be obedient even to the death of the cross. And then I will take up my cross and I will follow Jesus the rest of my life. You see, this is a call today, my friend. It's loud and it's clear. You've heard it before this Sunday. You've heard it before this hour. Some of you are procrastinated. You're put off until a more opportune time. You have heard it time and time again, some of you have. And you have said, I can't live that life. Some of you have looked at other people's lives and you said, if that is holiness, I don't need it. But let me challenge you this morning to stop looking at people's lives and start looking to the Christ who gave His life for you on a hill called Calvary, who rose again, who ascended back to the Heavenly Father, and who is interceding right now for you at the Father's right hand, and the one that will send the Holy Spirit into your life this very moment. He gives unto us His Holy Spirit. Not another spirit. Not the spirit of a man. Not the spirit of this or that. But God will give us His Spirit. Same Spirit that hovered over this old world when there was nothing. The same Holy Spirit spoke to the prophets of the days gone by. The same Holy Spirit spoke to the apostles, to the disciples. The same Holy Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. The same Holy Spirit that came to the upper room after 120 disciples had been in prayer for 10 days. And He came and filled their lives to abundance of God's grace. And then they went out and they changed the world. You say, preacher, I have denied Christ. Let me tell you about a person in the upper room who at one time had denied Christ as well. Peter. He denied Christ 3 times. But Peter was one of the 120 in the upper room. And it was Peter that preached the first message after Pentecost. And 3,000 souls were saved by the Christ. He's not very long ago had denied. Let me tell you something this morning, my friend. God will never consult your past to determine what He'll do for you this morning. You see, so many times we think we've got to get it right before we come to God. That's a deception of the enemy this morning. But you see, God is not dwelling on our past. God is dwelling upon what He can make us today and what we can be for Him for the rest of our lives.
And that is the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ this morning, my friend. It changes us on the inside. And then it becomes evident for the world to see. This morning, the good news of the gospel is that the Holy Spirit of God will come to you. He will show you a way of life you've never lived before. And He will say, "This is a way, walk in it." And He will tell you, "My grace will be sufficient for you." But you see, the secret is obedience. The key to the whole gospel message. Yes, I believe in faith. For by grace are we saved through faith. But I, by faith, must receive. And that is when I respond positively to the call of God. And when I mix my obedience with my faith, that is when the great I am, the God of the universe, the creator of the visible and the invisible, will come into my heart and your heart. My life and your life, and take up where He belongs. That's on the throne of your heart. What is the answer today for the world? It is to answer this call. What is the answer for the church today? Answer this call, yes. What is the answer for your marriage today, your family today? It is to answer yes to this divine call. And when you answer yes to this divine call, something is going to happen that you will not be able to explain. And you will not be able to put it down in black and white. But you will know by the witness of the Holy Spirit, something has happened supernaturally in my life. Today, this experience can be real in your life. It's not for a specific group. It's not for an elite group. It's for whosoever will answer this call and say, "Yes, Lord, this is what I desire." Then God, through His Spirit, will come into your life and dwell there for the rest of your life. In closing this morning, I must tell you this part of the gospel. For there have been many who have answered this call, and they have fallen from grace. But if you read 1 John, he says, you don't have to sin. But the next verse he says, but if you do, you have an advocate with the Father, whose name is Jesus Christ. And you can come back and you can have that relationship restored with where it broke off. This morning, only you and God knows your relationship. But this morning, wherever you are, by faith, obey the Holy Spirit. Please stand. Father, we love you this morning. We thank you for your divine presence, for your word that is alive right now. And a God today that loves us where we are so much that he wants to change us. I pray this morning that every heart that you spoke to would have the faith to obey you